From Sundress Media Productions, this is Spectrum 360. Welcome. Your Spectrum 360 host is Mark Skogman. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. and online anytime via podcast. Thank you for listening for the next hour. Spectrum 360 is progressive and features political talk and humor and also the arts and popular culture. Spectrum 360 starts right now. Let's get to work.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Any one of you who feels cynical, just consider where we have been.
You want the truth, you should seek it out for yourself. That's what they're afraid of. You.
This is information the world needs to know.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Thank you. Bless you. This is the end of the meeting. It's the beginning of the movement. Thank
Woo!
You.
Yeah.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
That's right, folks. Don't touch that dial.
Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360.
From the sun, white sand beaches, palm trees, surf, and piña coladas. In the beautiful and tropical Tampa Bay area, in the state of Florida, on the eastern coast of the Gulf of Mexico.
Got the sun on my shoulders and my toes in the sand.
This is the radio program Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 26th of January, 2015.
You have an incoming transmission.
The revolution will not be televised.
The voice of news information has
the purpose of this program is to bring vital news.
I'm your host, Mark Skogman.
You imbecile! You bloated idiot!
Oh, not that again. Oh, my gosh.
He is the most interesting man in the world.
You're so ugly you could be a modern art masterpiece.
With associate producer and occasional co-host, Terry Weeks.
You know it, baby. Hello, and welcome to our Spectrum 360 listeners in the Tampa Bay area, the state of Florida, and the United States. I am Spectrum 360 associate producer and occasional co-host, Terry Weeks.
I am sure.
Oh, not again.
Totally.
Totally.
If I have to, I can do anything. I am strong.
Terry, welcome. I'm so glad to have her on the program. She adds so much to this program when she's here as co-host.
Thank you.
Spectrum 360 is copyright 2015 by Mark Skogman. Copying and sharing the Spectrum 360 podcast for personal use is authorized. On Spectrum 360 in this edition, the focus of this edition is the arts in terms of music and politics in terms of Cuba. And I will explain what I mean about that here. Segment one, live and recorded, a concert review and music medley on Friday, the 23rd of January, 2015, just 3 days ago. The legendary folk and rock music songwriter, singer, and guitarist Arlo Guthrie, son of the even more legendary folk singer Woody Guthrie, played a concert at the beautiful, wonderful, recently restored Capitol Theater in downtown Clearwater, Florida. The concert was great. Spectrum 360 will review this concert and play a 5-minute and 3-second medley of Arlo Guthrie's most well-known songs. A Spectrum 360 exclusive! Woohoo! Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be something fun that we haven't done in this program very much recently. Here's a preview.
Song Alex's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back.
Yeah, there you go. That's Arlo Guthrie. And then segment two, recorded an interview on Wednesday, the 14th of January, 2015. Dr. Cornel West was in St. Petersburg, Florida, at the Greater Mount Zion AME Church. That's African Methodist Episcopal. Try saying that five times fast. He was there for an interview and a speech. We have the audio of the interview with Dr. West on that day where he talks to reporters from Revolutionary Road and WMNF about the current state of affairs with race relations and the issues highlighted by the incidents in Ferguson, Missouri with Michael Brown and in New York, New York with Eric Garner. A Spectrum 360 near exclusive. This is a prelude to Spectrum 360 starting a new program series next week featuring Dr. West's recent speech in St. Petersburg, Florida. We're going to serialize it and have him on the next several programs.
Now, I think one thing to keep in mind is that Ferguson allows us to witness this magnificent awakening among young people, all people, but especially among young people to straighten their backs up and to struggle, not just in the name of justice, but it's in the name of respect.
What a guy.
What a man, what a man, what a man, what a mighty cool man.
Yeah.
What a man, what a man, what a man, what a mighty good man.
What a mighty good man.
What a man, what a man, what a man, what a mighty cool man. What a man, what a man, what a man, what a mighty.
Okay, enough of that. I always make myself laugh when I use that song, What a Man. We've used that for a number of different men on this program. This is just the latest, Dr. Cornel West. And then segment three, live in the studio. Our friend and friend of the program, Democrat and political activist regarding Cuba, Gordon Chernecki, just returned from a 4-day trip to the communist island nation of Cuba. He was going to be joined with Victor DiMaio, political consultant and also a friend of the program. But Victor has that terrible cold that's circulating right now and is ill and cannot be on the program tonight. But we'll definitely be speaking with Gordon. Spectrum 360 will host a panel discussion with them and the staff of Spectrum 360 on U.S.-Cuba relations and the state of the restoration of diplomatic relations with Cuba. Interesting and very topical. Spectrum 360 has reserved most of the program for this discussion. Another Spectrum 360 exclusive. Woohoo! Yeah, that's great. I just love doing this program and love having all these great guests on. It's just really a lot of fun. And then on next week's Spectrum 360, the start of the new program series by Spectrum 360 with Dr. Cornel West. Spectrum 360 will broadcast the entire recent speech in St. Petersburg by Dr. West on successive programs until we broadcast the entire 1 hour, 30 minute plus speech. A very interesting speech indeed. Listen starting next week. And of course, Spectrum 360 will have the usual news, recent event coverage, and humor that our listeners have come to expect from Spectrum 360. Yes. Remember to like us on Facebook at Spectrum 360 Radio Program, and also remember the Spectrum 360 Podcast. That's really, a lot of times, the best way to listen to this program. Go to www.internetradiopros.com, scroll down to Spectrum 360 link, click on it, choose the program date of your choice. Listen to Spectrum 360. And remember, Spectrum 360 is copyright 2015 by Mark Skogman. Copying, sharing the Spectrum 360 Podcast for personal use is authorized and encouraged, I might say. So yeah, definitely we want you to do that, okay?
Spectrum 360 with Mark Skogman.
Segment one on Spectrum 360 for
Monday, the 26th of January, 2015. This is our review and recorded song medley of the Arlo Guthrie concert. That was just this last Friday, 3 days ago, Friday, the 23rd of January, 2015, at the Capitol Theater in downtown Clearwater. The Capitol Theater is an old classic theater that's been there for multiple decades, at least going back into the 20s, if I remember right, and was recently restored about a year ago. It opened again after a multi-million dollar restoration, and it's just beautiful. I've run sound there before. My band actually used to practice, rehearse on the stage of the Capitol Theater. Now, that was a lot before...
way before they renovated, I think.
Yeah, it was in a different incarnation of the theater when Socrates owned and operated the theater. It was a very different place then, and we had a great place to rehearse. But now, it's a great concert venue, and they're booking great concerts every few days in that facility. And I've seen a number of them, and I love the new facility. And the latest one I saw was Arlo Guthrie this last Friday. And it was great. Arlo Guthrie, he's still touring. He's about 70 years old now, and he's still touring, just like Graham Nash, who I saw at the same exact venue just about a week and a half ago, two Mondays ago. I saw Graham Nash there. So they're all doing well, these rock and folk artists in their 70s.
These old hippies never go away, do
yes,
they?
They're still doing it. And Arlo Guthrie was great. He had a five-member band, including himself, backing him up, including his son on keyboards. So Arlo's son plays with him. He's currently on tour. And he's got a great band. They're just crack. They just sound beautiful. They're excellent. They're mixed excellent. So the sound quality is great. And they've got good stage presence. And not only is Arlo Guthrie a very good songwriter and a good singer and guitarist, but he's also a great storyteller and great comedian. And you combine those all together, the comedy, the storytelling, and the great songwriting and singer-guitarist talents of Arlo, and it's really a great show, and he's still very good. And the highlight of this concert was the fact that Arlo Guthrie is most famous for the song Alice's Restaurant from the 60s, and he only performs that long-form song now, according to himself, every 10 years. So he's on a new tour. This is just the third concert of this new tour that he just started. And he did Alice's Restaurant, which is a special treat because this only comes around once every 10 years. In fact, he said himself from the stage that I only do this every 10 years. And the last time he performed it, he thought, well, I'll probably never perform that again because I don't think I'm going to live that long. Well, he did.
And actually, I believe this was the 50th anniversary of the first performance or writing of Alice's Restaurant. So this was kind of a historic occasion.
Yes, 50th anniversary of the release. So he did live that long and he did perform it. So that was a great treat. I never thought I'd see Alice's Restaurant live. I really never thought that. And he started the concert with, he tours with a video screen. It's probably about 16 by 20 feet in service area. And they started the concert with one of his famous songs called Motorcycle or Motorcycle. It's the motorcycle song. I don't want a pickle. I just want to ride my motorcycle. That's how it starts. And about a year ago, they found an animated video that someone created, and they created a video with that song. So it's an animated video of that motorcycle song, and he shows the video on the screen as he sings along with it. It's just great. And then later on, while he's doing Alice's Restaurant, there's also a film called Alice's Restaurant, and they're showing scenes of the film on the video screen as well as he's performing Alice's Restaurant. I mean, it just doesn't get better than that in terms of Arlo Guthrie and that song. It was just the best ever. I didn't expect that all that to happen the way it did, but it was great. So a lot of fun. He played a lot of other good songs too, such as some of his other familiar hits. Of course, his father's song, This Land Is Your Land. His father wrote that, Woody Guthrie, in New York City.
And you probably sang it in elementary school. Most kids did.
Exactly. And Arlo, of course, does that song as well. And he also did Coming Into Los Angeles and City of New Orleans and a number of other songs. So he's got a lot of serious folk songs that he's not well known for that are very good as well. Check it out online. Go to iTunes. He's got a lot of, there's hundreds of Arlo Guthrie songs listed there on iTunes and other online resources. They're all great. So check that out. So, Terry, what were your thoughts on the concert? That's basically my take on it.
I loved it. I'm a little younger, so I don't really have memories of Arlo Guthrie from when I was growing up. But it was a very special concert. I really kind of felt like I was a part of history. If you're interested in American history and the history of American music, it was really kind of a special experience. He did This Land Is Your Land, and the whole audience sang along with them, and you're kind of thinking, wow, I'm singing This Land Is Your Land with Woody Guthrie's son. Kind of a continuum of music history. He's a great storyteller, like his father was. He's a great performer, and I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, he's a living link to Woody Guthrie, one of the most famous folk singers in American history. So there you go. He's the son, and now his son, Woody Guthrie's grandson, is performing to his left on this concert tour.
So he played keyboards, and he's quite good.
Yeah, he's very good. So just a great, great concert, great venue, great night. Highly recommend it. Downtown Clearwater is really improving, too. You've got restaurants down there you can go to before you go to the theater. So that's just great. It was an all-around great experience. They also have an outside rooftop bar, which has some food, too. So you can go up there, grab a snack before a concert or during the intermission, and grab a drink, and then go back down and see the rest of the concert. So that's wonderful to do as well. I really, really enjoyed that. So here's our medley of Arlo Guthrie songs. This is 5 minutes and 3 seconds of Arlo Guthrie at his best.
Song, Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Now it all started 2 Thanksgivings ago, it was on 2 years ago on Thanksgiving, when my friend and I went up to visit Alice at the restaurant. But Alice doesn't live in the restaurant, she lives in the church nearby the restaurant, in the bell tower with her husband Ray and Fatsha the dog. And living in the bell tower like that, they got a lot of room downstairs where the pews used to be. And having all that room, seeing as how they took out all the pews, they decided that they didn't have to take out their garbage for a long time. We got up there, we found all the garbage in there, and we decided it'd be a friendly gesture for us to take the garbage down to the city dump. So we took the half a ton of garbage, put it in the back of a red VW microbus, took shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, and headed on toward the city dump.
As I went walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me an endless skyway. I saw below me a golden valley. This land was made for you and me. This land is your land, and this land is my land. From California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest of the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me. I've roamed and rambled, followed my footsteps through the sparkling sands of your diamond deserts. And all around me, a voice was sounding, this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, and this land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me.
I was just thinking of something. I shouldn't have thought of it in the middle of the song.
Riding on the city of New Orleans, Illinois Central, Monday morning rail. 15 cars and 15 restless riders, 3 conductors, 25 sacks of mail.
all along the southbound Odyssey. The train pulls out at Kankakee and rolls along past houses, farms, and fields. Passing trains that have no name, and freight yards full of old black men, and the graveyards of the rusted automobiles. Good morning, America, how are you? Said, don't you know me? I'm your native son. I'm the train they call the city of New Orleans. I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done. Coming in from London, from over the pole, flying in a big airliner, chicken flying everywhere around the plane. Could we ever feel much finer? Coming into Los Angeles, bringing in a couple of keys. Don't touch my bags if you please, Mr. Customs Man. And there's a
okay, that is our medley of Arlo Guthrie songs. That's some of his best songs. Of course, you heard Alice's Restaurant. Then you heard This Land Is Your Land, written by his father, Woody Guthrie, and performed by himself. I think Woody also sings on one of the versions that Arlo has online for sale. And then you heard City of New Orleans. It's a great classic folk song that was written by Steve Goodman. And Arlo Guthrie has a hilarious story of how Steve Goodman met him and pitched the song. Arlo Guthrie gets done with a concert, right, and in some bar somewhere.
In Chicago.
Ah, you remember that detail.
I know Steve Goodman is from Chicago. I'm a big Steve Goodman fan.
Yes, and so Steve Goodman comes up to Arlo Guthrie after the concert, and they don't know each other. He introduces himself, says, I've got to talk to you. And Arlo says, no, I don't want to talk to you. You know, I'm tired. I just got into this concert. I don't really want to talk to you. And Steve says, I've just got to talk to you. I've got this song that I've got to sing for you. And he said, Arlo Guthrie says no again. And then he says, I've got to do this. And Arlo says, okay, if you buy me a beer, I will sit and drink the beer and I'll listen to you the length of time that it takes me to drink the beer. And then I'm leaving. So Steve Goodman thought that was a great deal. So he bought him a beer. He played him a song. And the song he played him was City of New Orleans. And it was pitched to Johnny Cash, of all people.
Actually, he wanted Arlo to pitch it to Johnny Cash.
Yeah, that's right. That's correct. Johnny Cash had been singing too many train songs. So Johnny Cash declines. He refuses to do the song because it was his opinion that he'd been doing too many train songs.
Didn't want to be known as that train song guy.
Exactly. So Johnny Cash wouldn't do it. So Arlo says, okay, I'll do it. And it became one of his biggest hits. Interesting story behind that song. And then at the end, you heard Coming Into Los Angeles. That was the live version. That was live from Woodstock. Arlo Guthrie performed live at Woodstock when he was 20 years old. Can you believe that? What a way to start a career, huh? He's got some hilarious stories about that, too. During the concert, he had many historical stories and funny stories to do. And, of course, he did the long-form Alice's Restaurant. So it was quite an experience seeing that, and I highly recommend it. Okay, now we're going to play our short interview with Cornel West. This is approximately 6 minutes and 35 seconds, and then we'll start our segment on Cuba with Gordon Chernecki. But I want to play this first. This is a great little short interview that is the prelude to starting our series next week with Dr. Cornel West from the speech that he gave at the Greater Mount Zion AME Church in St. Petersburg two Wednesdays ago, the 14th of January, 2015. This will be our taste of that for this week, and we'll start the series next week. So take it away, Cornel.
Here we go.
All right. Well, we're here at Bethel AME.
No.
Oh, excuse me.
Greater Mount Zion.
Greater Mount Zion AME tonight in St. Petersburg, and we are here with Dr. Cornel West. We're privileged to have him in our community. And Professor West, just a couple of quick questions, and I'm sure WMNF may want to ask us as well. Much of what's been going on, of course, recently in the news with what happened in Ferguson and New York has brought to attention concerns about the need to break the divide that exists, both not just with law enforcement, but in general with institutional racism. Would you comment on that for us?
No, I think one thing to keep in mind is that Ferguson allows us to witness this magnificent awakening among young people, all people, but especially among young people, to straighten their backs up and to struggle, not just in the name of justice, but it's in the name of respect. I think that black people, all we've ever wanted in America is a fair chance and respect. And I think black young folks are tired of being disrespected. Now, arbitrary police power is one example of that. We can talk about schools, we can talk about workplace, we can talk about Hollywood and ugly stereotypical images and so forth. But this issue of respect is at the center of it, and that's a wonderful thing to see. And thank God this is true for now. All sectors, all cultures in American society, black lives matter. Respect black people.
Well, please.
Oh, hi there. It's an absolute
pleasure to meet you. Nice to see you. Nice to see you.
A little starstruck.
Good to see you.
So, and this is my own leap of logic here, but
sure.
In some respects, you could see Bill de Blasio almost as an Obama 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, for obvious reasons, he hasn't been able, maybe not so obvious, and that's my question to you, he cannot get the NYPD, and or I would assume the larger metropolitan area to really get down to the nitty-gritty of some of these systemic racial problems in New York. What do you see is maybe the blockage there or blockage here and there?
I think that any time you have a possibility of a new day being birthed, that there's going to be a lot of pain that goes with that birth. And you've got slices of the police department who are part of an older age. It's a bygone era. And so you get a certain kind of noise made, certain kind of pain expressed because they are allegiance to an older era. That older era was one in which there was arbitrary police power across the board, especially the poor youth, black and brown especially. And when many of us said we don't want that any longer, we knew that there would be strong backlash, and we're witnessing that backlash, there's no doubt. But you have to work through it. And the question is going to be whether de Blasio has the backbone. Because that's always a fundamental question for any leader. Clinton, Obama, Bushes or whatever, what kind of backbone do they have in terms of integrity? And de Blasio right now, he's got to show real backbone.
Where would you think that we should... as Michelle Alexander points out, and this is very simplified, a lot of black and brown people are being men... are being arrested for not necessarily trumped up charges, but they're preemptive charges, mandatory sentencing. And then once they get on the back end of it, they've lost their civil liberties. And if you were suggesting to take the first bite of this elephant to eat it, where would you start?
Well, you got to raise the question, what does fairness require? Fair policing across the board, respecting persons across the board. Right now, we got a racist criminal justice system, so it's unfair. But somehow, we've got to make it fair. Same is true in terms of, I think, Michelle Alexander's really written the secular Bible of our time because it focuses on this very ugly, deeply racist new Jim Crow in place. And, I think what she's saying is there has to be both fairness but also accountability. So you're not going to have accountability of arbitrary police power until some of the policemen go to jail. Not because you want to be vengeful, but because they've done something that violates the law. And the law has to apply equally across the board, including the blue in New York City. And that's what that's the culture the police don't want to come to terms with. That they don't want that accountability. And that's where we're going to find out whether de Blasio has real backbone.
Gentlemen, I'm sorry.
Well, one last quick question, please.
Yeah, please.
Dr. West, with the emergence of the movement that has grown out of Ferguson, are we seeing a new revolutionary youth movement that is happening and emerging in this country?
Well, certainly a progressive awakening. I mean, revolutionaries is a very, very tight criteria. We've got our dear professor, Professor Wilma Leon, who can break it down to us. But we've seen a progressive awakening, and those are the first steps. Now, Martin King called for revolution, as we know, at the end of his life. He wanted a fundamental transformation of wealth and power. He wanted a complete reinvigoration of public life and so forth. I think we've got a little ways to go there. But the beautiful thing is, and this is always the crucial first step, breaking the back of fear. See, once you're no longer fearful, then you're open to new possibility. But once you move further down the road, you're going to have a much sharper analysis of power. You're going to have better organizing, better mobilizing. You're going to have high-quality people, quality leadership, quality followership. And all of those remain open questions at the moment. We're going to run.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Okay, wasn't that good? That was Cornel West. Well, I couldn't have said it better myself. Okay, enough of that silliness. I've got one announcement I'd like to make before we get to our Cuba segment. And that is this. In Immokalee, Florida, this coming Friday, that's going to be the 30th of January, 2015, in Immokalee, Florida, the National Farm Workers Ministry, Pinellas Support Committee, is going to have a Farm Worker Day from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. In conjunction with the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, and they're hosting a Community Farm Worker Day. It takes place the second day of the National Farm Worker Ministry's three-day board meeting in Fort Myers, Florida. Yes.
Very cool.
And everyone is invited. There's going to be a tour of Immokalee, presentation by the CIW, lunch, questions and answers, fair food program participating grower. Getting a lot of interesting stuff there. Contact Patricia Blanamore. She's the Pinellas Support Committee organizer. And you can contact her at 479-6144. That's 727-479-6144, or email her at pplantamura@nfwm.org. That's P, Plantamura, and I'll spell that for you. P-P-L-A-N-T, like plant, and then and then M-U-R-A at nfwm.org. Okay, back in a moment with our Cuba segment.
There's a gun and ammunition just inside the doorway.
Use it 45 seconds. And now, segment three for Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 26th of January, 2015. Welcome, Gordon Chernecki. Say hello, Gordon.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
Good, good. How are you? That's the question.
I'm doing well. It's nice to be back home, of course, as usual, in the good old USA.
But, yes.
Had a great four-day trip to Cuba.
I notice here, I wish our listeners could see it. Gordon's wearing this really cool shirt. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the shirt you're wearing, Gordon?
Well, the shirt that I'm wearing is the Industriales baseball team, which is the Havana baseball team for Cuba, and it's a 14-city league, and they're kind of like the New York Yankees of their country. And it's a funny story because I had my Tampa Bay jersey on, and a Cuba guy came up to me and was talking about the Rays, and and talking all about it. And I said, well, boy, I wish I could get an Industriali shirt. And he grabbed my arm and walked me over, and he showed me an authentic Industriali shirt. And I said, well, let's trade. So now we're talking about ending the embargo. I was happy to get an Industriali shirt, and he was happy to get a Tampa Bay Rays shirt.
Oh, no. Does that actually technically violate the embargo?
I hope not.
Oh, the feds are coming for your baseball jersey, Gordon. Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Well, that's
so
a funny story.
It was a lot of fun, and he talked a lot of baseball, and the Chicago White Sox have got a lot of Cuban players that are very, very good. And he knew about all the players. And, of course, that's their number one sport.
Yeah,
there,
they love baseball and
soccer,
don't they?
Yeah. So it was a real fun moment. And he was a very warm guy. And he owns a coconut vending shop. And he gave me a free coconut and gave me coconut juice and all. But a real good guy. And he just loved talking baseball. So we had a lot of fun in that moment.
Oh, very cool. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the logistics of getting to Cuba and so forth, so we have an understanding of what you did. I mean, you went to Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
You went there for 4 days. So you left last week on Thursday, came back just yesterday, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And you flew there, correct?
Correct.
Okay, now tell me about the passport procedures and the type of flight. It's a charter flight, am I correct?
Charter flight, Sun Country Airlines. It was about a 45, 47-minute ride.
Wow, is that short?
It was a nice, real nice flight, especially going down there. You could see all the cities of Florida that you fly over, Sarasota, Fort Myers, Naples. You can see the very tip of Florida. You can see the entire, I forgot what road it is that leads to Key West, but you can see almost all the Keys on a clear day because they
A1A.
Yep. Okay, yeah.
A1A.
And you can see
and
that road
A1A.
On a clear day. You could see how the Keys bend and all. Boy, they're so small. It's amazing how small Key West is. But we fly about 5-10 miles west of the airport, and he just goes straight. And I'll tell you, Cuba is so close. Before you know it, you can see the horizon of Havana.
Well, you can get there in 45 minutes by air. That's very interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Only 90 miles between the United States and Cuba, of
very,
course.
Very, very close.
And then you have to have a passport. And what I understand now, the information's been publicized since President Obama announced that the United States and Cuba are going to normalize diplomatic relations, that is, and have ambassadors and establish an embassy in each other's countries again. What I've seen is there are 11 or 12 different classes of people that can actually go to Cuba now. If you're one of these classes of Cuba, you don't need any specific special permission from the State Department to travel there as long as you're one of these categories. And then you can go to Cuba as long as you've got your passport and a visa. Is that correct?
That is correct. The situation is the president opened up travel. There's still travel restrictions. It's not tourist to tourist. There's probably about 15 different categories, maybe 10 to 12 categories actually, but there's categories that you can fit in. And I went with the Pinellas County Coalition. It was led by certain state representatives. And
which ones?
That was Janet Long, John Maroney, Susan Latvala. They were on the trip. There were many others.
Interesting. Democrat and Republican Pinellas County Commissioners.
Yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And it was, they had a wonderful time to be able to speak to government officials of Cuba, so that we understand how their government works, and to see their old Havana. And we did interact with people there. I spoke to a doctor there, who was a very fine lady. Their life expectancy is as long as a U.S. individual. So they have it seems like their healthcare system is working pretty well.
Yeah, that was covered in Michael Moore's documentary film, Sicko, information about Cuba's health system, which is actually very good. And where did you stay when you were there in Cuba for those 4 days?
I stayed at the Malia Cohiba, which is a 22-story hotel right along the Malecón, the picturesque Malecón. And it was a great hotel with great service, wonderful people there again.
I saw a an interview by a woman who goes to Cuba occasionally, and she said, bring your own toilet paper, and then showed the rolls that she was bringing on her trip to Cuba, because sometimes they're short of necessities. Did you have any kind of problems like that?
No, we didn't have any shortages. They don't have the paper towels or the soap like we have here in our restrooms in most occasions, but it wasn't as bad as I was probably expecting. But the, is the interaction with the people, and it was a tremendous experience, one I'll never forget. And, I'm very glad I did it. And I hope more Americans can do it. And I hope that our relations can improve. And I think that, what the president has done has been a step in the right direction. Absolutely, for sure. And, it reminds me of a sporting event. I don't like alluding to sports as an analogy, but it's like the Kentucky Derby. They call that the most exciting 2 minutes in sports, but this is similar to the Kentucky Derby because the gates have opened.
Yeah.
So the gates have opened, but you still have a 2 minute race.
Mm-hmm.
So there is more to go on. And the more you can educate the people who can educate their legislators on, what's going on, between the two countries, it will definitely be a benefactor, because it's up to Congress to lift the embargo, to make interaction, where we can visit there, they can visit us. And, we had a Cuban official that told us about their government and went over the way they have a one-party system, but they have multiple candidates that run.
But they're all with the same party.
They're all with the same party, but... Again, there's multiple candidates that, as he claimed, different analogies on their thought process.
So there are genuine candidacies, even though they are from the same party.
Correct.
Well, some people think that's the system in this country.
They may be right.
It might be getting that way. You never know. Huh?
Oh, I've heard that a lot.
And Florida's looking that way. It's leaning a little bit that way. But he discussed that. And, of course, he... discuss their the only law of the land, the only law in the world is that wet foot, dry foot rule law, I should say the law, where if they step foot in the United States, they get citizenship and they get food stamps. And
Cubans are the only group, the only nationality that have that kind of treatment.
They're the only one that does get that treatment. And he used the analogy, if we did that with Mexico, how many Mexicans would be, coming here immediately, and would we even be able to withstand the avalanche of people in the millions? So it's very interesting to hear their perspective and how things work and their analogy. And that was very good. And he was very educated and very kind to us, and tried to explain their side and where they stand. So that was a great seminar that I attended. I was very happy to hear him talk.
So you actually had a formal seminar with this government official. What was his name?
I have his name in my notepad, but it was a government official that spoke.
It was probably a Cuban name, huh?
Oh, big time. Well, he's a Cuban and spoke very good English. He's a very fine man and wasn't antagonistic and wasn't wanting to fight, and was really wanted to, gain a relationship with the United States. I did speak to a Russian who was there, and... he was alluding to me that the embargo on with Russia and Ukraine, it's not working at all. It won't work. And all it affects is the elderly, which tends to irritate the population. So these embargoes, I don't know historically. You can correct me, Mark, but are you familiar with any of them that have ever really worked other than give pain and suffrage to the underprivileged?
Well, they are what you could analogize as a blunt instrument. It hurts. It has a negative effect of... really across the board. And of course, the lower you are on the socioeconomic scale, the more it's going to affect you, because the upper class have ways of insulating themselves from the negative effects. But I have to disagree with you to some extent about the embargoes that are happening with Russia right now, because that is actually having a devastating effect on the Russian economy because of oil prices. And the way that's affecting Russia's supply of oil on the and how it's being sold on the world market, that's having a very serious effect on Russia now. So that is one aspect of the embargo that is working.
I
understand your point. The fact that the lower you are in the socioeconomic scale, the more you're going to be affected by it. And it's always the the poor people who pay the worst price. It was the same in Iraq. It's the same in Iran. And I think it's going to be, you know, in the long term, the same with Russia if it continues.
Well, I think what's really hurting Russia now is that the Saudis cut the price of oil. So the Russians are no longer able to sell their oil for the money that they were, and that's killing them. I know in Iran, President Obama is very reluctant to impose any more sanctions and embargoes on Iran. He wants to negotiate and reach a diplomatic solution, and he's very frustrated with Congress that they seem to want to impose more sanctions to hurt the people of Iran.
I also want to cover finances and financially how you do a trip with Cuba. Now, what I understand is there's not infrastructure yet because there isn't the embargo has not been lifted, and you can't go there as a just a tourist, as a as an ordinary citizen. So there aren't there isn't infrastructure, financial infrastructure in place in Cuba to process credit cards and so forth. So you pay for your trip completely in cash. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So yeah, that confirms what I had understood already. So
do they take American dollars?
They you can exchange pretty easily. They do take credit cards, but since they're categorically a terrorist country, it's a situation where the American banks couldn't do business with them. Now, since that's been lifted, I believe it's $400, and your better hotels or restaurants take credit cards. But of course, it'd be an Italian bank or a Canadian bank. But I was there at a very good time. Where these things were just starting to lift, mm-hmm. and I was in a hotel where they did have, and maybe I shouldn't be saying on the air, but they did have some U.S. diplomats there, and I was in the elevator with them, and they said they're doing what they can to get this worked out, and they were very nice people, and they spoke as much as they could, but mm-hmm. they, you know, I believe the president would like to see this happen. I believe that the polls show that prior to the State of the Union speech, it was 60-30 in favor of lifting the embargo, 10% undecided. So if you were to split that undecided 10%, you're looking 65-35%. That's a tremendous victory and a vast majority of people that want the embargo lifted. So it's a popular item for the president, something that we talked about should have happened sooner. Okay. It hasn't worked for over 50 years.
Yes.
I think the proof is in the pudding. When it hasn't worked for 50 years, you need to start looking at other alternatives. I would much rather see the United States on good terms with Cuba than to have Putin there or to have the Chinese there. And it's amazing, once you hit Key West, the plane starts to go in a descent mode. And before you know it, you see the big buildings of Havana on the horizon. It's just so close.
It is. Yeah. There is a clear majority of the American public that supports normalizing relations with Cuba. And I believe also that includes ending the embargo. To me, it's a no-brainer. Anyone with common sense would take that position. And it is a clear majority now. And what we're seeing is that there's a lot of movement by it ever since President Obama announced it. And he also did mention it in the State of the Union speech as well, that, you know, it's just common sense. If you haven't been successful with a policy in 50 years of this type, well, it's time to try something new.
Right.
I personally think that we should have ended the embargo at an absolute maximum at least 20 years ago. And it was interesting that Senator Byron Dorgan from North Dakota said that very thing in the last few days in the media as well on MSNBC. He said exactly, we should have ended the embargo 20 years ago, and I couldn't agree with him more.
Well, that's a big farm state, and they probably mm-hmm. have a lot of wheat. And if you remember during the height of the Cold War, we were selling wheat to the Russians when we were on bad terms. So it helps our taxpayers because we don't have to subsidize
yes.
for these good and bad years that you can fluctuate with the farmers. But the embargo has done nothing but affect the elderly, the young, and it hasn't worked. I think they like living there. I think they wish they could have more opportunity for making money and jobs.
And political liberalization as well.
And political liberalization. And I think with the interaction with Americans, if it's done the right way, it's going to be like, you know, with my deal, you know, talking baseball with a guy mm-hmm. Who really finds a lot of interest to come to the United States and see these teams and players. And down there, it's very interesting. There's no tattoos. You don't see tattoos on people. You don't see tattoo parlors. They seem to have a very safe society. You can walk around freely. I talked to some people about walking down to Malecon 3 o'clock. They want to know why I would even ask that question.
Really?
Well, that's interesting. Yeah.
So, there's a lot of there's good public safety there. I don't know what their how they've been able to curtail drug use down there, but it just seems to me they don't have the drug problems that the United States tends to have.
Well, I think they have harsh penalties for people that use and traffic drugs, at least into the country, maybe not through. I'm not sure. I wanted to ask you one other question as well. I think it was the day that you left for Cuba last week on Thursday, or on or about that date, there was a large Russian signals intelligence ship which sailed into Havana Harbor and then moored at one of the most prominent docks there. It was covered extensively in the United States media, and there was a statement released by the Russian government saying that it was just a coincidence that they were there, and it has nothing to do with a change of policy of the U.S. or anything. And I've been saying this in the beginning. One of the reasons I like to see relations normalized was that that kind of activity by Russia doesn't increase, and that we've got a presence in the country where we can better track that ourselves, because they are at least to some extent still an adversary of the United States, although we cooperate with a lot of things and relations are, of course, way better than the Cold War. But, you know, that we're still in conflict over Ukraine and a number of other issues too, support for Iran, etc. So I was just wondering, did you know anything about or see that Russian signals intelligence ship in the harbor?
There was a hotel nearby where the crew from ABC was there, and I think they aired the national news there one evening. I did not get a chance to see that ship, but I was told about it by several people. But I think that's a way to crack certain congressmen and senators that may be reluctant on easing relations, or like I alluded to at the Kentucky Derby, the gates have opened, but it's a two-minute race. It's called the most exciting 2 minutes in sport. I keep talking about sports for some reason. But
well, you're wearing a sports jersey.
Yeah, I'm wearing a sports jersey.
Industriales baseball jersey.
I was so excited to get this jersey as he was to get mine, that we, right in the middle of the shopping area, took our shirts off in front of everybody. So they must have wondered what was going on.
Yeah, I think it's really cool, though. I like
but
the shirt.
He was
it's
a real
cool.
nice guy, and he just loved talking baseball. And I'm a baseball fan, you know, the Rays and all the shortstoppers from Cuba. He's been traded to the A's, but got other players, and it was interesting to hear about the cities and the representation that they have. 14 league season, and their season runs from November to April, unlike ours that goes from April to September or April to October. And they have a two league system. They also play summer league there, but their main season is November through April. And the weather was very nice. The last day was a little bit cool, and the waves were breaking over the Malecon. That was real nice to get some pictures of.
So they have like a spring training season as well as like a more regular season.
Yeah, the regular season, believe it or not, is November through April. And they do seem to have at least a month to 6 weeks of winter. You know, because after all, we are just 90 miles south of Key West, and I've been to Key West after New Year's, and it's been cold.
Yeah, I've been there when it's been like that too. Yeah. It's rare, but it does happen.
That wind coming off the Gulf on Havana was really something, and the buildings are super old. It's going to Havana is really like going to a museum. I mean, everything is old. It's a beautiful structure, archways. The Malecon was very interesting to go and see. It's kind of a hangout for kids, and they're all really well behaved. It was really an opportunity of a lifetime. I thank the good Lord for letting me go there. But I really like to hit on the fact that, I just again would rather have good relations with a country so close to us than to have the Chinese there. That I can't tell you how many articles I've read where they busted into company computers and even the Pentagon computers.
And I really would, if there's going to be drilling in the Gulf, which I'd rather not see at all, but I certainly don't want Cuba using Chinese equipment. It isn't known to be the best constructed equipment in the world.
And they mentioned that to me. They're bringing these rigs from halfway around the world, and something goes wrong, you know, somebody may not fix it for 10 days or something. And then, of course, with Putin and the Soviet Union, again, it's so close to our shores. So it just doesn't make sense to try not to work on this. and really put a great deal of emphasis. And when you get the poll numbers of 60 to 65% of the public that wants this to happen, that's a big deal. Yeah,
it's going to happen.
I know the marine science community is excited about it. I was talking to some marine scientists, and I guess some of the reefs around Cuba are absolutely pristine, really nice, and beautiful. Yep. And as far as studying for ecosystem restoration, to give you a baseline on what a healthy ecosystem looks like, which unfortunately we do not have here in the Keys anymore, but they do in Cuba.
Yes.
And there's a lot to learn there.
Correct. Okay. Well, that concludes our interview with Gordon Czernecki. Gordon, thank you so much for appearing on Spectrum 360, a friend of the program. Yep. Great interview. Very interesting and insightful. Remember to like us on Facebook at Spectrum 360 Radio Program, and also remember the Spectrum 360 Podcast. Go to www.internetradiopros.com. Scroll down to the Spectrum 360 link. Click on it. Choose the program date of your choice. That concludes Spectrum 360. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week when we start the series with Dr. Cornel West. Woohoo! Spectrum 360 is produced by Sunburst Media Productions and originates from St. Petersburg, Florida. Executive producer, host, audio engineer, and senior reporter, Mark Skogman. Associate producer, Terry Weeks. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. for 1 hour and online anytime via podcast. To access the podcast, go to www.facebook.com/Spectrum360 Radio Program and click on the program link. Or go to www.tantalk1340.com, click on podcasts, and click on Spectrum 360. Thank you to all our listeners and supporters and the staff of Spectrum 360. Listen next week for another interesting, informative, and entertaining Spectrum 360 radio program.
That's all, folks.